Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome each and every one of you by saying hello to my old friends and saying Habari Gani to my new friends. You've got your advocate here. I am your advisor here to provide for you. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a holiday. This is a celebration, National Teachers Day. That's right, the first Tuesday of the week in May is always National Teachers Day. We started out early this morning. I did a show for you around 4:30 in the morning for those early birds. I got everyone out of bed to let them know this is National Teachers Day. So what have you done for a child lately? Have you bent down to open a door or tie a shoe? If you haven't, shame on you. For those teachers out there, I know it's a little late. We had to move the time out. Apparently, we're having some problems with our equipment. The time scheduled me in for 10, and then I came back and noticed that I wasn't on the agenda. So I got myself in there because we have something to tell you this evening, and we have a person here that I've invited as our in-house residents to help us talk about those surplus teachers. We don't want you to give up on the profession and leave altogether. We want you to be mindful of the fact that this is National Teachers Day, and we are going to give you a little inspiration and give you some objectives that you can take a look at and other areas of the educational field that you could go into, such as in the parenting area. Now, I've invited our in-house residents, Dr. Arlene Kermit, also JD. She is a judge. Dr. Arlene Kermit, I was introduced to her through a mediation team. She is a mediator and an arbitrator, and she is a great advocate working towards vindicating our children, helping the parents to get the training they need through co-parenting resolution, showing them how to do a better job of parenting alone and separate, because she worked with the male and with the female so that both of them are trained. She created her very own curriculum there in Atlanta, Georgia, and she's in 9 counties, I understand, implementing her curriculum. Now, Dr. Arlene Kermit is an old friend of mine. She also implemented the co-facilitator parenting program here in the state of Indiana for my training group, the Lilly Institute for Education. And we had quite a few people to go through her training. Now, what we are attempting to do is to make you familiar with the program and to let you know that we are going to another level. We're looking at educators who would like to become parent facilitators and co-parenting resolutionists. And we want to offer you these options of actually taking Dr. Kermit's class and learning as much as you can and using it to be an independent consultant, possibly even representing a county here in this particular state. And we are looking at how we can work with those candidates who are transitioning out of the prison system, who are now looking to reunify with their children. See, we are interested in helping both parents, the male and the female. So Dr. Kermit and I are on one accord when it comes to the family-oriented training, and we believe that it's very necessary to have both parents in the home. Now, I'm going to bring Dr. Kermit in. She has a laundry list of things that she has done. An arbitrator, number one, a mediator, and she's also worked in guardian ad litem in her state. And I'm going to let her fill you in on some of the recent things that she's been doing, and we're going to talk about how we can get people in here to call that number, 646-478-0270. I give you Dr. Arlene Kermit. And she will talk to you from her perspective of her program, how she got started, what is her goal and objectives for this curriculum. And I'm going to bring her right on out of the atmosphere. Dr. Carlin,
hello.
Are you there? Hello.
Hello, Cheryl. Darlene.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. And thank you so much for having me on your show. And also recognizing that this is National Teachers Day. As you know, my PhD is in psychology. I'm an educational psychologist, which means that I've been a teacher since 1976. And,
Oh yes.
I'm primarily an educator.
I feel honored because I'm one year younger than you because I started in 1975. So
okay.
You got an old woman here.
Well,
that's
I didn't
great.
Think there was any other old women or any old persons on the planet, but now I found one, so good. But I want to commend you with bringing the course and talking about the role of our teachers. You know, you talk about teachers who are displaced. They're finding themselves without a course, without a job, without a profession. And where do they go now? We do have teachers who are displaced by many institutions, particularly the higher level institutions, colleges, universities, because the funding has been diminished. And they don't have the students, they don't have enough students to provide the income to have
mm-hmm.
more teachers. This is what
That's
I've seen
right.
in colleges. For example, those students who could not get grants or whose parents could not pay for the tuitions are saying, well, we only can have a classroom of 8 students, therefore we don't need 3 teachers for that one course. We can take those students and put them in one course, one class.
Well, Dr. Comer, you are so correct, and it's not just happening in the public school for elementary. It is even happening at the higher level area of the academians in law school. Some of the professors have now changed their profession and went into other fields because they cannot get the law student to enroll because of the fees. They even taken away the pretest that's required for them. Some schools do not even require that they take the LSA, if I'm not mistaken. SLAT. They've taken that away, but that still doesn't help these professors because they just don't have the number of students anymore because they're finding the amount of money they have to spend for the academic degree, over $150,000 for a degree, for a job that they might only get paid $50,000. So that doesn't justify. So you find students all over regrouping and looking at, can they afford this education? And teachers who've gotten so much education to the tune of 2 degrees and sometimes 2 endorsements, now they're finding that if they can't pass that proxit, they become surplus and someone can bump them from a job and they have all this education and they are looking to find out, how do I transition this education over into another profession? How do they do that, Dr. Carmen?
Well, the other thing, Cheryl, I've seen is that because I was an on-ground teacher, and that's quite different years ago.
What does
when
that
we
mean,
didn't have
on-ground? What does that mean?
On-ground? That means I was actually in the classroom, and I was there every week, and I'm on ground. I'm on site there. We call our teachers on-ground teachers. Now we have the school saying, oh, okay, why do we have to pay all of these on-ground teachers when we can have online teachers and the online courses can serve 10 times as many students with one online teacher being paid.
So that's
really where you're coming in is the online education has come
in. Well, that's cost-effective, Dr. Carmen. That's cost-effective to create that virtuous environment. So it's, they call it a cloud in the sky where you tap into the cloud, and then no matter where you're at, you can actually ascertain a blackboard or a whiteboard, and you are in a virtuous classroom. And that's basically what our radio stations are, like a virtuous classroom. You could really conduct a class in here if you wanted to. You know, with the upgraded modalities, you can actually pass files, support files, mark up files, send them back. So we're finding that the information highway is to the tune of about 2 billion people, and they're expecting 2 billion more people. The problem of it is, do we have the teachers to train to make them eligible to be instructors of IT programs, the Moodles, dealing with the various different classrooms where they're flatboard classroom? They're all new techniques now that I have been trying to pick up. And in my master's degree in curriculum instruction, it involves technology as well. So I work with Moodles and I work with homeschoolers, and we work with innovative material with Mozilla. There's a number of things we are doing with these children to make sure that they are able to get on the Internet and use security, don't violate any laws, go on there and respectively not go into the privacy issues of affecting other people's domain. And there's a lot happening now where teachers are being retrained to work in the technology of IT.
Well, that's the first thing any teacher, I would say, suggests to do is to, as the kids say, get on with the program.
Get on with the program. That's what I'm talking about.
Get on
about.
With the program. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're not going to turn back the clock. It won't happen. We will have, and we will probably have in the future, on ground teachers like me, but we're going to be almost dinosaurs in the future.
You don't have to be a dinosaur if you keep up with your Blog Talk Radio show. Do you know the amount of technology you must have in your Caustic record to upgrade and to download and to bring on the audio and sign up for iTunes? It is a technical background, and for someone that's our age, I think we do pretty well to even have our own radio show and be able to manipulate it.
Well, you know, and there are also things like GoToMeeting, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can actually have that kind of class, and GoToMeeting is secure, it's confidential, and it isn't like Skype, you know, that I hear is not confidential. I really don't know. I just heard that GoToMeeting is. But again, with our teachers, now we're dealing with a lot of teachers who have been the traditional teacher. They're the ones who go to the classroom, and we're dealing with now not college or higher institutions because, again, they're going online, most of them, or many of them.
You are so right, Dr. Carmen. The military has now instituted an online program via many different schools, and all of their work is done virtuously online. So they have to be able to remotely take classes all over the country. So they are very big on establishing institutions. And I set up some training programs for the military, and we did an in-house traditional training program where you meet core hosts face-to-face, but now I'm looking at taking that same very program, revamping it, making it virtuous online with a classroom where they have access to download their files. We can actually use our logo on the school online, and we have everything that we would normally have in open classroom, so to speak. These students are able to remotely travel all over the world. We can bring about maybe 100 people into the classroom where we can see their faces. We can zone in to them individually, work with them one-on-one, put them in small cluster groups. So I'm finding that my training in working in a cohort building brick-and-mortar classroom, I'm looking at how do I transfer that over. My son, being an engineer, has been working with me and showed me, well, Mom, you can transfer all that over and your files and everything. And that's what teachers have to be looking at. They don't want to phase themselves out, but they want to retrain themselves in the area such as co-parenting facilitator. We need more parenting facilitators. Now, can we talk about that? Can I get up close and comfortable with you, Dr. Corman, about your program? You've created a great program. Tell us about it.
Well, basically, I looked at this situation from being a divorce and custody lawyer for over 35 years and seeing that, or being in that arena and seeing it day in and day out, and seeing that unfortunately we have parents, not all parents, but many parents, who have forgotten that they are responsible for the life of this human being that two of them got together to make. And, you know, looking at this, Cheryl, from probably what I've looked at, and trying to instill in these parents that, look, you have a responsibility to this child. And what does that mean? That means that you two people chosen this. That kid didn't choose it. That kid didn't have anything to do with being born. You two had the thing, you instituted this whole situation. And therefore, co-parenting, where both of you consider each other as equal parents, as equal partners, as good people, is really critical and mandatory. And so in my 12-week course, I have it so instituted, it's really, because I'm a teacher, I have it so that it is not a touchy-feely course. In other words, it's not therapy, but it is with each week with specific goals in mind. I have it all written out so that each week has specific points that we must address and we must decide what is best for the child. There's no he's better or she's better. No. And, you know, Cheryl, I know you're a minister. I believe you have a minister background. And
yes, I do.
Isn't that correct?
Yes,
One of the things that I was watching this Easter, I look at these religious shows all the time because I've read many of our religious books from, you know, viewpoint of all of the religions, and whether it's the Christian, the Jewish, the Hindu, the Buddhism, and the Islam, the Allah religion, and, you know, Quran, all of them. And what was interesting to me, Cheryl, was when I was looking at one show during the Easter day where they have all these religious shows on all day long from various angles, was the teachings of Jesus Christ. And what I'm bringing in to this is that we as educators and we as people who are trying to teach parents to co-parent is to tell these people, you know, remember, and I don't know why we have to, but I think it's important to give credit where credit's due, that Jesus Christ, for example, said that God is not in a building. It's not in something brick and mortar built. But God is within you. And
right.
I think I'm correct, and I'm saying that hopefully correct. I did a whole paper on the life and teachings of Jesus Christ when I was in high school.
Dr. Carmen, you are politically correct and timely. One of the things that I had hoped to do was to intervene on behalf of these parents in the churches where we can appeal to the ministers about them being the first line of contact for teaching parenting skills. The moralistic view of them releasing parents to the community who are ill-equipped to raise children is morally not correct. And that's probably where the burden should lie upon our institutions called church to say that you have to go outside of the building to reach souls. And not that I'm going to preach today, because today's not my day to preach. I preach from my ministry program on Sundays. But I will say this much. I hear what you're saying. We have some people that are going to be released from prison pretty soon, quite a few of them. And President Obama has talked about those people that are going to be released. As a matter of fact, he went into the prison and institution and talked to some of the men that were due to be released shortly about their life situation and how they're going to rehabilitate themselves. In other words, before they come back into the community, we have to have a ceremony. And I am ritualistic. I will say this, that before you let people back into the community, they must be debriefed. And what I mean by that is that they must be re-educated, reprogrammed. And just like the military never let an active duty soldier out without debriefing him, these ex-fons, felons and cons will have to be debriefed. And that means that we have to brainwash them and bring them into an institution and train them and give them an insight on what's been happening in the world while they were absent from it for many, many years. So one of the things that an organization called Allison is doing, they've decided to partner with institutions like myself. I do have an institution called Lilly Institute for Education, and I've opted to partner with them to help them in the area of educating these people in the free curriculums that they offer online. Now, I think that's a great idea that they're bringing education to them. And Dr. Carmen, the one of the things I mentioned to you, we need to get in on the bidding process too. We need to bring in your program and say, hey, Sherelle Garth would like to introduce this program. She's been one of my facilitators. How long have I been facilitating for you now? I've been facilitating for Dr. Carmen for a while. I even took her course. So I was a tutelage and a student under her. And we brought in ministers. Remember, Dr. Carmen, we brought in all those ministers. They trained and they got their skills from Dr. Carmen and direction about how to parent alone once you've gone through a divorce. Herein lies the problem. We let the man walk away after he produces the child. He has no responsibility for training that child, and that's our fault. We've got to bring them back. Minnesota did it. They bring the male back, and they put him in a classroom, show him how to interact with that child and the mother. So when he gets his visitation, he is not doing inappropriate things with that child. He's doing age-appropriate things with that child, and he's scheduling appropriately so that that mother knows when that child is going to be off with the father. So the parent continues to parent together even though they're apart. That's why I like Dr. Carmen's program so much. We can prevent second pregnancies with her program. We can also go into the ministry and make it mandated that every 18-year-old takes this class, every newlywed takes this class. And with this material, teachers, you can become a consultant. You can even look at becoming a mediator in the court system. You can even become a co-parent facilitator when you go to court with these parents. Once you take Dr. Karma's training, she has endorsed it. She has stamped it, and her label of approval is on it. We have tried and tested it. It was a pilot program here in Indiana that nobody knew anything about. We had ministers come to take her class, and once they took her class, they were convinced that it was excellent, and we presented it before the judge here in Gary, Indiana, in their child and their divorce department. However, they had their own program. They did not want to entertain a new program. But we have not stopped because we know that this program could be a reunification program to reunify the mother and the child back together after the child has been taken out of the home because of abuse. So that's what we're looking at. These over-assessed teachers that are in the classroom and now they're out and they have no jobs, I want you to call in. Because Dr. Karma is in the house. Here comes the judge, ladies and gentlemen. She is a judge from the perspective that she listens to cases, and she used to be a trial lawyer, and she actually works in family law, so she knows all the things that goes on in the courtroom. She also listens to women pleading to get a chance to take the child home. She gets a chance to look at what improvement have they made in order for her to release those children back to her. I've been knowing Dr. Karma now for over 10 years. She's the same person every day. You can talk to her. She's down to earth, and she's been there. She knows about the hard knocks of life, so therefore she's not going to tell you anything that she hasn't been through. And she's been really a stronghold in a time of trouble. Because when she came in to try to re-educate the ministers that I brought to her, she tried to make them see the benefit of having this in their churches to make for a better church and for a better family. So I want her to tell you, what about these teachers? How can they become consultants if they wanted to use your materials, Dr. Karma, to actually freelance and go into the court system and to assist these parents? How can they do it?
Well, as a co-parenting facilitator, and you know, having gone through the course, what I'm anxious to see are that these educators, and they're in a unique position because, first of all, they were the first observers of the mental and physical health of our children. When they see children in the first grade, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, all of, up to about the 12th grade, they are seeing kids who are coming from dysfunctional families, and they are seeing the abuse. I'm talking about not the kind of sexual abuse or physical abuse that we're so accustomed to talking about. I'm talking about the mental abuse that they see not only in their homes, but in the schools. And so our teachers are in a unique position to have gotten all that experience that most of us who've not been in the teaching and educational world haven't seen. You know, you can talk about psychiatrists, psychologists, and social workers and the rest of those people who are dealing with children, but who really were the first ones to look at these children and notice what was going on. And, you know, I've taught courses for educational teachers and in the education department. And so I know what these educators are being taught. They are very well educated, not only in their chosen coursework, whether they're geography teachers or history teachers or whatever, but they are educated in child development and family. And they're the ones who call in the family and say, you know, Johnny's not doing too well. He's flunking. And so you've got those people out there with educational degrees, who are teachers or were teachers. You have so much to offer more than any other profession I can think of, because you came in on the ground floor. You were the first observers of our children, what's wrong with our children, the ones who are having difficulty in school. And by the way, for those educators, I'd like to say you were the first ones to help out in our schools for those kids who were being bullied. You know, I did a show on bullying, and I have zero tolerance for bullies, whether it's a kid yanking some other kid's hair, whether it's one kid taunting another kid because of the way he dresses or she dresses or whatever. You teachers out there, you were the ones to stop it and to say that's not going to happen. So, I mean, I applaud our teachers. I can't, having been a teacher most of my professional life, I think you're great. So in terms of co-parenting, you've got a leg up on that. I think you'd make great co-parenting facilitators because you can add something to the parents and say, you know what, I've seen your children in school. And not necessarily your child, but a child like yours. And this is what I've done, and this is what I've contributed to the children and ultimately to the family.
Let me interject something here. Yeah. Now, with the parent coming before you who have lost custody of their children and a custody right, one of the things we're finding here that there's overabundant of children that are in the foster care system, and there is there is a need for foster care parents, and they're continuing to look for foster care parent. And that's really not how we fix the problem. We need to fix the parent. And one of the things that I have been allocating in working with birth to three or zero to three programs, where around the state, they are now looking at how we can form committees of professionals such as marriage and family therapists, social workers, early interventionists, and caseworkers to bring them together to look at how can we take those cases of those babies, the infants and toddlers, assess the cases to see what their needs are while they're in a waiting and holding pattern, and to see if we can appeal to the judge by telling him the best practices for that infant, since we are professionals in this area. The judge has been listening around the globe to other programs, and they've been relying upon early childhood specialists in their expertise to make recommendations of what's best for babies and how babies can't wait. And we've intervened with the judges to talk to them, and groups of women right now as I speak are formalizing groups to go in once a month to take those cases that have been logged in and that have been laying dormant to help move them along and to move that child through the system or to possibly place that child in a relative's home until that parent is properly ready and trained to receive that child and knows the proper interaction for the infant and toddler without abusing the child. That's what we've got to teach. We need to take as many teachers as we can to work one-on-one with these parents. These mothers are going through post-traumatic stress. They're going through the blues. They're managing alone as an individual parent. There's a lot of stress on those parents, and they're lashing out at their children. Unbeknown to them, they can't take back those blows, and those children become injured, and they become damaged, and then they're passed through the system. And I say this because I've been in a family where we have taken in many foster children, and we have worked with the court system. So I know it so well, and it's very vital. We don't have the old tradition like we used to have that family members will run up and adopt the child. It's very hard to get families to adopt their own relatives now. So I think, and I'm proposing, Dr. Carmen, that we look at having a component that will bring together a team of people that are experts that can help the judge to best move that child along through the system, give the child what he needs, be it programs that they need for behavior therapy, grief therapy, but don't just let the child lay in the system until he's properly placed. Do something to help him before he becomes further damaged. And that's what I was proposing. And ladies and gentlemen, I propose that to Dr. Carmen because we're looking at how could we partner that? How could we bring that into the court system and help our overtaxed system of foster care? How can we do that? If you out there and you have any suggestion, you know, give us a call, 646-478-0270. Now, Dr. Carmen is in the room. Dr. Carmen is a psychologist. She is a JD judge. She is also a mediator and arbitrator. She has tried many cases. She works with many counties throughout Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, over 9 counties. She has reached out to Gary, Indiana, to assist and aid us. We have made our appeal to the judge and asked the judge about bringing in the curriculum. However, we were told that the curriculum that we had, they already had one. But that doesn't mean that Gary doesn't need this program. They still need this program. And we can bring teachers together to train them so that they can be marketing themselves by selling Dr. Carmen's materials and utilizing her technique that she's been so successful with there in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, let's talk about it, Dr. Carmen. What's been going on in Atlanta, Georgia, hot Georgia? What's going on down there, and how are you helping those mothers?
Well, again, and you know I've written several books, and the last one being How Do You Survive and Win as a Co-Parent, second edition. And if you go on Amazon, it's on there. And I started out with the first book, Should You Really Seek Custody of Your Child? What I meant to say and what I did say was, you know, if you're not prepared to have primary custody, you should really not do it. But what I like to turn back on our educators is I like your proposal to get the whole group of people from coming in from all aspects, particularly the educators, because I think people will listen to those educators who've been in the front line. I mean, they have been the first line of defense for children. You know,
absolutely.
If we wouldn't have
absolutely.
Had our educators, I'm telling you, we would not have had the protection for our children that you have seen over the years, really. I wanted. I was a teacher when I was in the sixth grade, okay, that's how far back I go. When I was in the sixth grade, I had a sixth grade class. I taught in Maryland, we had the Maryland School for the Blind, and I had a class in my school which was for poorly sighted children. So in the sixth grade, I had my class going on in the next room where I was a student, and I had my own little sixth grade class of poorly sighted children. So you see, I've been teaching a long time from when I was, what's the sixth grade? I don't know.
So would you say that's a prerequisite? Is that a prerequisite, Dr. Carmen?
I just love education, and I just have such respect for the first thing I ever wanted to do was to be a teacher. So, but I like your program, Cheryl, where you're having a group of people from various modems coming in to try to save those kids from zero to 3 years old, because anytime we can save that group, we're getting a head start, and that's what Head Start program started, you know.
And you
head
know
start
something,
was
Dr.
a program.
These teachers that have saying that they're surplus, by getting the training in early childhood, which I am a PD specialist, professional development for the Council of Washington, D.C., we have non-traditional direct routes of getting a diploma, which is equivalent to a two-year associate degree. Well, it gives 9 college credit hours, and the state actually gives a TEACH grant to help them to get their credentials in child development. One of the things that we should mandate that every parent that has a child must have a CDA degree, and that is a one-year certificate program proving that they can be a parent. We set them on the course for a correct parenting skills, then we will be more successful and cut down on the abuse in the system, cut down on taking the children. Now, we're going to end this program pretty soon. I see they are getting ready to shut us down. So I want to say thank you, Dr. Carmet, and I want to ask you to come back again, okay? And we are glad you came. And happy National Teachers Day, ladies. Thank you. And please do listen to the show on demand, and Dr. Carmen is going to come back to visit us again, and we're going to be working together. And for all my students that I had out there that went through Dr. Carmen's program with me, I want you to be using your co-parenting facilitator's credentials and your skills. Don't just let that